Good evening. If you've got a Bible, let's open to Luke chapter 1 together. And this morning I told you I was fighting through the Ohio Valley crud a little bit. As you might be able to tell, it's gotten worse over the past like 45 minutes or so. So we will keep things relatively short. I don't promise they will be sweet, but we will try just to keep it short because nobody wants to listen to a man who sounds like he smoked way too many packs of cigarettes, which, just to clarify, is not the case at all. We're in Luke chapter 1 this evening. We talked about this story this morning, but we took kind of a journey into darkness to try to get a sense for the weight of what this passage offers us. And this passage offers hope. It offers hope in the midst of incredible darkness. But tonight, as we spend a little bit of time in this same story, I want us to come at it at a little bit different of an angle. We reflected this morning on the incredible hope and the weight and the power of the hope that this story offers us. But tonight, I want us to consider the darkness of the world we live in today. Not just 1,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago when people were longing and waiting for God. But we live in a dark world even yet today. There are things on the news every single day, every single morning and afternoon that just causes our hearts to ache sometimes. We get calls from the doctor that just causes our heart to break. There are relationship problems that feel like we've just been punched in the gut. We live in a dark world. But the question I want us to think about for a little bit tonight is, what can we do about the darkness? And I think this story right here has a lot to teach us about how our discipleship to Jesus, our following of Jesus, can help us to be a light in the dark world around us. Because what this passage does is encourages us, like Mary, to be used by God. See, Mary, as we talked about this morning, lived in a dark world. It's a world that hadn't heard from God in hundreds of years, that was living in an oppressive empire, in a nation that was fracturing at the seams, in a nation where violence was par for the course every single day. And yet, Mary was used by God to help bring light into the world. And so let's take a moment to pray, and we'll reflect on this story a little bit this evening. God, we thank you for tonight, and God, we thank you for having a time of family sharing where we can talk about what's going on in our life together. Father, we thank you for time of singing and lifting up our voice to you, of coming before you as our Father. And God, we thank you right now for a chance to come before the Word. We believe that you speak truth into our life through the Scriptures. And so, God, we pray that you would help us as we spend a little bit of time together tonight hearing from you and allowing your word to encourage us and inspire us. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we get started, the passage begins like this. It says in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And so our first thought for tonight, we'll just kind of stop right there, is that God can use you no matter where you are from. See, Nazareth was a town basically in the middle of nowhere. It was insignificant. It was just a little village that nobody really cared about. It was only about 60 acres kind of cut into this rocky hillside and had a population of 500 people. That's not a very big city at all. The houses in Nazareth were made mostly of clay and mud, so they didn't last. Like there's very little evidence of their dwellings, of their homes anymore. There was no political significance to the city of Nazareth. It was just kind of, it lived in the shadow of a big city called Sepphoris that was kind of a Greek Hellenized city. But Nazareth was, it was backwoods. It was a small town. It was almost insignificant. And in fact, outside of the New Testament, we have very little evidence or references to the town of Nazareth. It just was not significant in the ancient world. And yet, here was this angel, an angel Gabriel, who, if you read the rest of the Bible, is a significant player in the story. Here he is in Nazareth. And as we think about what this means for us, the Ohio Valley is not a big community. We're not kind of a cultural center. We don't have a national TV outlets in our neighborhoods on a daily basis. But don't let that make you think that God can't use us. Yeah, I have friends who are church planners, people who are just really passionate about making a difference in the world. And kind of the conventional wisdom for church planners is that they need to be in a city, because a city is where you have the biggest impact. Cities are the places that impact culture, that impact the world around us. But God doesn't overlook small little towns like Nazareth. And God doesn't overlook small little communities like the Ohio Valley either. We might not be a big cultural center, but that doesn't mean God doesn't want to use us, to use you and me, to use this church to bless this community, to make a difference in the dark world. God can use you no matter where you're from, whether you're from New York City or San Francisco or Blaine, Ohio. God can use you no matter where you're from. And as we keep reading, we read that Gabriel showed up to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And so right there is our second thought for tonight, is that God can use you, but it might not be easy. Did I skip one? Yeah, God can use you no matter the obstacles. That makes more sense. See, God showed up, or the angel showed up to Mary. Mary was young. Women in this culture usually were married between 12 and 16 years old, so we don't know exactly how old she is. But chances are really good that she is a very young girl. Not only was she young, but she was also poor. And we know from other parts of the story that Mary didn't come from a wealthy family. She didn't have a lot to her name. And not only that, but she was female. She was a girl. And yet here was the angel Gabriel showing up to give her a mission. Now all of these things, the fact that she was young, the fact that she was poor, the fact that she was a woman, were all characteristics that to the people of her day would have made her just ineligible to be used by God. Because in their mind, God didn't use people who are young. They didn't use people who are poor. God didn't use people who are girls for that matter. And yet, here was the angel. Because God had chosen Mary to be one of the most important people in the history of the world, to be a part of bringing light into the darkness in a way the world has never known. And so I don't know where you are tonight. But maybe you feel like, as you think about the darkness of the world around us, as you think about the call to be a light to the dark world, maybe you feel like you just don't have much ability. Maybe you feel like you don't really have the talents that other people have. You see people around you singing songs or preaching sermons or teaching classes or influencing their workplace, and you feel like you just can't do it because you don't have that kind of ability. Or maybe you feel like you just don't have the experience. Like other people have more wisdom. Other people have more to offer. Or maybe you feel like you don't have the education. You feel like you need to learn Greek or Hebrew before you can make a difference. Maybe you feel like you need to have letters after your name before you can impact the world around you. But this story reminds us that God can use you no matter what kind of obstacles you think stand in the way. It doesn't matter if you feel like you have no talent in the world. Maybe it doesn't matter if you feel like you don't have experience or you don't have education or you don't have the money, you don't have the expertise or whatever. God can use you. God can overcome whatever shortcomings we feel like we have. See, we often focus on all of the things that get in the way, but God often focuses on what he's going to do on the other side of our shortcomings and obstacles. And we could talk a lot more about this, but I don't have a voice, so we're not going to. But the story continues in verse 29, that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And so here, Mary receives this calling from God to bear a child, to conceive a baby, to bring a boy named Jesus into the world. And so our next thought for tonight is that God can use you, but it might not be easy. See, Mary in this moment was called to be the mother of the Messiah. But what we don't read into, or what we don't see on the surface of this story, is that that was a really difficult calling. Her family would probably ridicule her. She wasn't married yet. She was pledged to be married, but she wasn't married yet. She got pregnant out of wedlock. They didn't know the whole story behind it. Her fiancé was just on the verge of leaving her. hardest part of all is the son that she was called to bear, the son that she would carry with her, the son that she would bring into the world, that she would watch over for his entire childhood and into his adult life, would be rejected by the same people he came to save. He would be tortured. He would be murdered. See, this call to bear the Messiah into the world is a great calling. It's an incredible privilege. But he never said it was going to be easy. We often kind of romanticize this. We feel like that it's just this beautiful, picturesque, nostalgic Hallmark card kind of story. But this calling that Mary received to bear Jesus into the world wasn't going to be easy, and yet God was going to be at work through. And so the story goes on in verse 32 that he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever and his kingdom will never end. Then Mary asked, how will this be since I am a virgin? And see, the next thought is that God can use you even when it seems impossible. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about the call to be a light in the world, it seems just absolutely crazy and impossible that God could use someone like me, that God could use people like us to make a difference in the world. We often can't see how God can use us, how God can be at work in our life. Sometimes we struggle to believe that it's actually true, that it's actually true that God can work through us. And that's because we often focus on our circumstances. We often see what to us seems impossible. But God doesn't look at us and see what's impossible. God sees what is possible through us. We get so hung up on our circumstances. We get so hung up on kind of where we are and the difficulties we face and the problems and our insecurities and all of those things. But that's not what God sees. When God sees the possible that he can bring into existence through us. And then verse 35, it says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And see, this is where it really begins to drive home. That's the fact that God can use you by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we talked about this morning, there's a lot of ways we can kind of get off track as we think about the virgin birth of Jesus, and there's a lot of ways we can kind of misdirect our focus. The point of this story, the point of this miracle, is that the birth happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want us to miss this. I don't want us to miss what's happening here. See, Mary was called to bring God into the world. This is what theologians call theotokos. Just a word that means the God-bearer. That's who Mary was called to be. She was called to bring God into our world. She lived in a dark world, a broken world, much like we do today. But notice here, Mary isn't called to fix it. Mary isn't called to fix everything that's wrong with the world. Mary isn't called to be a light in the dark place. Rather, she is called to bring God, to bring the Messiah into the world, to take Jesus into the darkness. See, the calling on her wasn't to fix it. It wasn't to be a solution. The calling on her was to bring God into the world. And the same is true for us. We aren't called to fix all of the problems that we see around us. You aren't called to fix your workplace. You aren't called to fix your neighbor. You're not called to fix your husband or your wife. You're not called to be that solution. What you are called to do is to bring Jesus into that place, to bring Jesus into your workplace, to bring Jesus into your marriage and into your family, to bring Jesus into your neighborhood, because he is the one who has the power to shine a light in the darkness that cannot be put out. He is the one that is the light in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. But I also want us to notice the way Mary was able to do this. The way Mary was able to be Theotokos, the God-bearer, wasn't because of all of the accolades she had going for her. It wasn't because of all of her achievements or all of her success or all of her education or experience or any of those things. She was able to help bring God into a dark and broken world because the Holy Spirit was with her. And as followers of Jesus, as people who have been baptized into Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just for people a long time ago. The Holy Spirit indwells us as followers of Christ. And that means we have the power to bring Jesus into our workplaces, that we don't have to just try really hard. We don't just have to be a really great person, though we should try, and we should be a good person. But we have the Holy Spirit who is at work in us. And if we can learn to trust Him and to rely on Him and to live daily, moment by moment, in connection with Him, the Holy Spirit can do more in our workplaces, in our communities, in our neighborhoods than we could ever do on our own. And see, this story invites us to allow God to use us by trusting the Spirit, to trusting the Spirit to be at work. And so the story comes to a close like this in verse 36. It says, "When Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word of God will ever fail." And then listen to how Mary responds. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. And see, God can use you, but only when you trust Him with your life. And Mary stands there before the angel. "May it be to me as you have said. I am the Lord's servant." But think about what she was saying. She was a young, unmarried girl who lived in a patriarchal society. She was putting her life at risk, because a young girl who got pregnant in that day and age outside of marriage risked disaster. If the father of the child didn't marry her, which didn't happen very often, then she would likely never get married again, because she had a stigma on her for the rest of her life. And if her father wasn't willing to take her back into his house, then she would likely be cast out onto the street as a homeless beggar or worse. Then Mary's story wasn't that she got pregnant by her boyfriend. Mary had a story that she had a baby by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what people would think if this young 12, 13, 14-year-old girl was going around saying, "The baby I have is from the Holy Spirit"? What would people think? Not only would she have the stigma of an unwed pregnancy, but she would be considered crazy. People would think that she lost her mind. It was risky. It was risky for her to say yes. We romanticize it. We kind of make it glitzy and full of glamour. But this was a risky call. It was a risky decision that Mary made to say yes. And yet, despite all of the risk, despite what she could lose, she said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And that's what it takes. If we truly want God to work in us, if we truly want God to work through us, then we have to trust Him with our lives. We have to trust Him enough to run fearlessly and courageously into whatever type of dangerous, uncomfortable situation we might face. See, the call to be a light in the world, to be the light of Jesus in a dark world, often leads us into scary places. It calls us out of our comfort zone. It calls us into places that we would never think to go on our own. It causes us to have conversations that we never would have on our own. It causes us to take risks. It causes us to trust Jesus to come through when we can't see a way we can come through on our own. But when we come to a place where we trust Him like that, where we can literally put our life in His hands, God can do amazing things through us. And so, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say with Mary, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled"? And if you can confidently say that tonight, I want you to do that, to say to God, "I am your servant." And if you've never been baptized, right now is a chance where you can make that decision to literally put your life in His hands as He brings you up out of baptism as a new creation in Christ. Or if you're here tonight and you're struggling with something and we can pray with you, we'd love to be able to do that. But if you need to respond, why don't you come and talk to me down front as we all stand.